ask for the permission from Ompo and Nan, the other senior monks, to speak on the Dhamma. And I extend my greetings to all of the laity who have gathered here, those online as well, and coming for this retreat, and those who have come to the monastery to make offerings on this significant day, which is the King of Thailand's birthday. So during this time, it's a time of retreat, of us practicing the Dhamma together, developing our hearts through meditating. And so I have this opportunity today to talk with you and to give some advice on the methods of practicing the Dhamma, and can give some details, maybe a more detailed account into some aspects of Dhamma practice. And so I'll pick up an important point of Dhamma today, something which is necessary for all of us to be using all the time when we are practicing the Dhamma, and even more important when we are in formal meditation, walking meditation or sitting meditation, but also when we're practicing during our daily lives, doing whatever duties or activities that we may be doing. This is something which is necessary for us to use. And these Dhammas which have great benefit for us. So there are two of them. The one is sati, which we translate as recollection or mindfulness. And the second is sampajanya, which is a clear knowing, a clear awareness. So today I'll talk about the second quality of sampajanya. This is probably something that we've heard many times already. Usually we hear them together, the sati and sampajanya, they go together. For Thai people, often we hear the words sati and panya, so mindfulness and wisdom going together. But really, sati and sampajanya and sati and panya, these two pairs, they have the same meaning. And so this word sampajanya, perhaps there is some doubts over to, as to what exactly it is. But in truth, the Buddha, when he taught, he used various terms. And there were many terms which pointed to the same state of Dhamma, of wisdom. He used many words for this. So we have the word jnana, or vicha, or brightness, and there's also sampajanya. And these all have the meaning of wisdom. So when we speak about the practice, so if we're practicing following the satipatthanas, so the foundations of mindfulness, whatever meditation method we're using, all of those are contained within these foundations of mindfulness. And within those foundations of mindfulness, there's also this aspect of wisdom, or sampajanya, as well. And so in the Gaya Nupassana, so the foundation of mindfulness established in the body, there's an aspect of that which is the term sampajanya papa. So the Buddha taught about this in a detailed way. So he said when we're moving backwards or forwards, when we're moving to the left or to the right, so whatever movements the body is engaged in, if we're extending our arm or retracting our arm, we're leaning forward, leaning backwards, if we're sitting down or standing up, when we're putting on our clothes, when we're eating, drinking, or tasting something, that all of these are within this category of developing sampajanya, this clear awareness. So we can see then that the Buddha gave importance to sampajanya, and that he said we need to be using our wisdom constantly. And wisdom is something which is very important, something that we need to be using when we're developing our meditation, developing our minds. And so when we're sitting in meditation or walking in meditation, we need to have this quality of clear awareness there. So perhaps we've heard before there are some places where they practice Dhamma, teach the Dhamma, and they say that when we're outside of formal meditation, then we should be still meditating in whatever posture the body is in. So we need to be observing then. So like when we're walking around, the instructions that are given is to have a sense of ourselves, to have this awareness. And even though they say we'll have this awareness, whether we're standing, walking, sitting, lying down, so have this awareness, it doesn't merely mean just being aware. It actually has a deeper meaning than that. And the meaning there is that we should be using our wisdom constantly. And so here then, when we say to be using our wisdom like this, well, how does that work? How do we do it? And so this isn't just having a feeling of what's going on, but rather we should be using our wisdom to be contemplating. So like when we're speaking or we're moving our body, are those movements, is that speech within sila, within virtue? And this is important, because even though we may be moving our body, moving our mouths, we may be aware of that, but our wisdom needs to be investigating, is what we're doing in line with sila, in line with the precepts? Are we harming any beings? So this isn't just an awareness, but it's an inquiry into whether that activity is within virtue. Am I moving for the sake of harming any beings? And if that is the case, then the wisdom will look into that and to see that that's what's happening, and will tell us not to do it. It will keep us within the bounds of sila. And so we should stay within this bounds of goodness, moving for the sake of humility, moving the body for the sake of loving kindness, for not being arrogant, for not being stubborn. So all of this is a practice of satipatthana, so these foundations of mindfulness. So when we're speaking, eating, drinking, and tasting any flavors, we don't merely have an awareness that that is what is happening, but we also have this wisdom to be investigating when we're eating, when we're drinking, when there's taste. For what purpose is this happening? So the monks have a chant which they recite, which is the contemplation over the requisites that are used. So for example, the alms food that we consume. So the Buddha said that we should contemplate into these four requisites and use our wisdom to be contemplating that. So the food that we eat, we need to be wisely reflecting upon that. Why are we eating this? And we don't eat for illness to arise. We need to know a sense of proportion. If there's anything that is going to make us sick, then we don't have that. We have just what is enough. And this is even more important when we have this period of retreat like this. Because if we eat excessively, then what's going to happen? Or if we have food which is hard to digest, then what will happen? And there will be certain feelings that come up. There'll be a lot of drowsiness that arises. And so the mindfulness should be there within, when taking the food and with what we eat. And so knowing that we should have just what is enough. Because if we have too much and this drowsiness comes up, then it may be beyond our efforts to overcome that in our meditation. And so food is important while we are practicing in retreat like this, to have what's just enough, to have just a little, and eat things which are easy to digest. And so if we do that, then when we sit in meditation, even though there may be drowsiness that arises, we can overcome that through our efforts. Or like the clothes that we wear, we should be wisely reflecting upon that as well. And why are we wearing these? And so this word, therefore, of sampajanya, it has a deeper meaning than merely awareness. But it's using our wisdom, especially so when we have this time of coming together, meditating like this. So the Buddha says that when we walk, we should have awareness over that walking. But is it merely awareness? Well, it's not. There also needs to be this wisdom contemplating. And that are we walking for the sake of developing our minds? Are we going to a place which is going to be conducive for developing the heart? Is it going to be a place where the defilements are likely to arise? So we should be contemplating, not just knowing that we are walking, but having wisdom over where are we walking to and why are we going there. And so if we're going to walk towards a group of people who really like to chat, and then we ask ourselves, is this going to be of benefit to my meditation, or is it going to damage my meditation? Well, it will damage it. It won't lead to development. And why is that? Well, if we're entering into a group which is fond of talking, then we're probably going to talk a lot. We'll listen to many different things. And if that's excessive, then results will come up. And one of those results is that the mind will become more and more restless and scattered. And so that's what happens when people talk a lot, is that the mind becomes more restless. So this wisdom then should be contemplating that when we're going somewhere, is the place we're going to help us develop our minds or to degrade the quality of our minds? If it will develop our minds, then we should go there. So like places that are peaceful, where they're secluded, it's close to natural areas, to forests, where you feel cool and at ease, and where we can have the opportunity to sit in meditation, walk in meditation. There aren't all these sounds around us which are disturbing us. And the wisdom faculty here can look into that and to see, well, this is going to be of benefit for my heart. And so therefore we go to that place. And this means that this quality of sampajanya is functioning in the mind at that time, that wisdom is present. So wisdom is something that we need to be using in our meditation practice from the very beginning. And so we have this wisdom then helping us to develop our sila, our virtue. So this is what wisdom does, is that it contemplates allowing us to be very firm in our virtue. And then next, wisdom helps us to develop our samadhi, this firm, collected, peaceful state of mind. The things which are obstructions to samadhi Our wisdom looks and sees, well, this is going to be an obstruction, and then it avoids those things. So when we do that, then we're able to establish the mind firmly in samadhi while meditating. And so when wisdom contemplates and sees that certain things are going to be conducive for our samadhi practice, then we should move towards those things. And that which doesn't allow the defilements to arise and to disturb us, where we're not going to be in situations where drowsiness comes up, or to be doing things that gives rise to restlessness or to doubts. Our wisdom should be contemplating as well, when these things do arise, what are the methods to solve them? And so if there's drowsiness, if there's a scatteredness of mind, the wisdom should look into that and how can I bring the mind back to peace quickly? So wisdom needs to be seeking out these methods to bring our minds back into the middle. And this is something which is really important and something which we need to use from the very beginnings of our practice. So therefore, sampajanya is this quality that needs to be present right from the beginning, something which helps us to develop our virtue, to develop our samadhi, to bring up more mindfulness, to bring the mind into a state of peace, and also to be cultivating this quality of wisdom itself as well. So these are all qualities which are important within our practice. We're able to see what's what in the practice. So like when we're meditating, and we're cultivating these four foundations of mindfulness, the foundations of the body, of feelings, of the mind, and of dhammas. So the Buddha said that we should contemplate the body and see the body is merely a body. And so we see that, and we also see that this body, it's not feelings, it's not the mind, it's not dhamma. And so when we're contemplating the body, we see it as body. Well, like if we're having mindfulness over feelings, we see those as being feelings, that they're not the body, they're not the mind, they're not dhamma. And so we see then these aspects for what they are, and we don't place them in the wrong category. So some people get them mixed up then, and they say that, well, there's the body, and there's the brain of the body, and the mind is then a product of the brain. So therefore the mind is the body, that these are the same things. And really it's true that all of the mental factors, they depend upon this body, but they're not the same thing as the body. And these are namma dhammas, and these are mental qualities. So we need to be contemplating like this, contemplating the feelings, the mind and the dhammas, and that these are not the body, but rather these are feelings, mind and dhammas, contemplating like this. So for those who are able to do this, this develops our mindfulness, gives more energy to it. We have more energy to our mindfulness, then our samadhi and our wisdom grows. And this is for, as Lompo Anan has explained to us, seeing the truth of all things, which is that they are just conventions, they're suppositions. They're just dhammas, just qualities. They're not beings, individuals. They're not me, they're not you. Seeing that they all have this state of anatta, of not-self, that they're empty of any self, empty of any being, of any individual, empty of a me, empty of a you. And so when we develop our wisdom like this, and our practice grows and grows, that leads us in the end to vimutti, to freedom, to this level of wisdom. And so therefore our practice of meditation helps us to develop this quality of wisdom to liberation. And just like as Lompo Anand has taught us before, he often tells us to use our wisdom constantly. He doesn't use this word of sampajanya, but he says that we should be aware of what we're doing and we should have wisdom contemplating what we're doing. So this is really important in our practice. So therefore, today, if this is about enough to give you some advice on the methods of the practice. And also today it's the birthday of the Thai king. And so therefore, for us who are practicing on this retreat, or those who have come to make offerings in the monastery, we can set our hearts that through the goodness and the wholesome deeds that we have done today, that may they be offered for the benefit of the king, that he may have a long life, may be a refuge for the people of this country further. And he may take care of this Buddhist dispensation and support it for its development and for the benefit of all beings. And so therefore in us practicing the Dhamma, that may all of you develop in the Dhamma and the Vinaya and the teachings of the Buddha and carry on growing until you attain to the Dhamma and reach freedom from all suffering.